It's the TED Radio Hour from NPR. I'm Guy Raz. And on the show today, ideas about risk. So let's talk about rock climbing with a rope. Is it fair to say that it's relatively safe to do that?
Yeah, climbing with a rope is fundamentally safe. You know, the gear is designed to keep you safe.
This is Alex Honnold, and he would know.
My name is Alex Honnold, and I'm a professional rock climber.
So just like when anyone listening like sees people rock climbing and there's somebody at the bottom holding a rope, if they slipped and they fell, what would happen?
So they would basically fall double the distance to the last piece of gear that they had clipped. So as they're going every couple feet, they clip their rope into another piece of gear. And then if they fall, then the person down below holding the other end of the rope serves as a counterweight and basically catches them. And so, you know, in general, climbing with a rope should be quite safe.
All right, so we've established what rope climbing is. What is, what's free soloing?
So free soloing is climbing without a rope, without equipment, without a partner. So you're just using your hands and feet to just climb up a vertical rock face.
And just to be clear, without ropes means if you fall, you die.
Yeah, that's pretty much exactly what it means.
Can you explain how you transitioned from looking at a rock wall and saying, can you hold the rope and like latch me in, to saying, okay, I'm going to climb this like Spider-Man? Like, how did you even get to the idea of wanting to do that?
Part of the appeal was just the practical side of it, that you don't need a partner and you don't need to schedule with anybody. You can just mm-hmm. go to a wall and go
right.
climbing.
Right.
But then I've also always sort of appreciated the way that you can test yourself soloing, I suppose. You know, it's just higher consequence, so it forces you to perform at a higher level.
Now, Alex has definitely had the opportunity to test himself as a climber. He's actually the subject of a documentary called Free Solo. It's about his quest to become the first person to climb El Capitan in Yosemite with no ropes. But Alex's career as a climber started way before that. Here's more from Alex Honnold on the TED stage.
So I started climbing in the gym when I was around 10 years old. I made the transition to the outdoors and gradually started free soloing. There have been many free solos before me, so I had plenty of inspiration to draw from. But by 2008, I'd repeated most of their previous solos in Yosemite and was starting to imagine breaking into new terrain. The obvious first choice was Half Dome, an iconic 2,000-foot wall that lords over the east end of the valley. The problem, though also the allure, was that it was too big. I didn't really know how to prepare for potential free solo. I did at least climb the route roped up with a friend 2 days before, just to make sure that I knew roughly where to go and that I could physically do it. But when I came back by myself 2 days later, I knew that there was a 300-foot variation that circled around one of the hardest parts of the climb. I suddenly decided to skip the hard part and take the variation, even though I'd never climbed it before. But I immediately began to doubt myself. I was slightly rattled because I knew that all the hardest climbing was up the top. I needed to stay composed. It was a beautiful September morning, and as I climbed higher, I could hear the sounds of tourists chatting and laughing on the summit. But between me and the summit lay a blank slab of granite. There were no cracks or edges to hold onto. I had to trust my life to the friction between my climbing shoes and the smooth granite. I carefully balanced my way upward, but then I reached a foothold that I didn't quite trust. I considered a foot further to the side, but seemed worse. I switched my feet and tried a foot further out, it seemed even worse. I started to panic. I knew what I had to do, but I was just too afraid to do it. I just had to stand up on my right foot. And so, after what felt like an eternity, I accepted what I had to do. And it didn't slip, and so I didn't die. And that move marked the end of the hardest climbing. And so I charged from there towards the summit. And so normally when you summit Half Dome, you have a rope and a bunch of climbing gear on you, and tourists gasp and they flock around you for photos. This time I popped over the edge shirtless, panting, jacked. I was amped, but nobody batted an eye. I took off my tight climbing shoes and started hiking back down. And that's when people stopped me. You're hiking barefoot? That's so hardcore. I'd succeeded in the solo, and it was celebrated as a big first in climbing. But I was unsatisfied. I was disappointed in my performance because I knew that I'd gotten away with something. I actually took the next year or so off from free soloing because I knew that I shouldn't make a habit of relying on luck. I didn't want to be a lucky climber. I wanted to be a great climber.
Do you consider yourself to be a risk taker in general?
No. I hate gambling. I hate games of chance. I don't, you know. I mean, a lot of people, when they talk about risk, it's like it's okay to fail, particularly with financial risk. People take financial risk because the upside outweighs the downside. But with free soloing, it's not like that because the downside is infinite, basically. I mean, death is a very big downside. you know, I'm really making sure that that chance is at zero, you know.
We often celebrate people who take risks, whether it's in business or science or in sports. We admire people who seem bold enough to do things that, for most of us, are uncomfortable or even terrifying. So on the show today, we're going to explore ideas about risk, why some people seem to embrace it and others seem to run away from it, and whether it might be possible to reduce or actually eliminate risk through careful planning and preparation. And when it comes to climbing, Alex Honnold thinks you can.
I mean, a lot of people sort of conflate risk with the consequences. You know, people look at free soloing and they're like, oh, that's very risky. But, you know, the risk is the likelihood that something bad is actually going to happen. You know, the consequences are what will actually happen if something bad occurs. So, I mean, with free soloing, the consequences are always really high. But sometimes the climbing is super easy, so the risk is really, really low because there's basically no chance that you would fall off.
Climbing with a rope is a largely physical effort. You just have to be strong enough to hold on and make the movements upward. But free soloing plays out more in the mind. Your body is still climbing the same wall. But staying calm and performing at your best when you know that any mistake could mean death requires a certain kind of mindset. That's not supposed to be funny, but it is. I work to cultivate that mindset through visualization, which basically just means imagining the entire experience of soloing the wall. I'd already started to think about El Cap. It was always in the back of my mind as the obvious crown jewel of solos. Each year for the next 7 years, I'd think, this is the year that I'm going to solo El Cap. And then I would drive into Yosemite, look up at the wall, and think, no freaking way. It's too big and too scary. The thing that makes El Cap so intimidating is the sheer scale of the wall. Most climbers take 3 to 5 days to ascend the 3,000 feet of vertical granite. The idea of setting out up a wall of that size with nothing but shoes and a chalk bag seemed impossible. But eventually I came to accept that I wanted to test myself against El Cap. It represented true mastery, but I needed it to feel different. I didn't want to get away with anything or barely squeak by. This time I wanted to do it right.
So when you started preparing to free solo El Capitan, what was that like? What was the training like?
So the training for El Cap was varied. I mean, it kind of split into the physical and mental side of it. The physical side of it came down to base fitness required, you know, being able to actually climb a wall like that. And that's pretty easy to train for just by going climbing all the time and making sure that I felt strong. And then there was the more specific side of it, being able to physically do all the moves on El Cap. And so that meant practicing the individual moves, memorizing the moves. I would think through specifically the sequences, and I would often sort of make mental to-do lists of like, okay, this move feels weird. I should see if there's a way around it or if there's another way to do it. And so I'd constantly be thinking about the nitty-gritty of the route like that. And then there's the more general mental side of it of, do I believe that it's possible? You know, is this something that I can actually do? Am I confident doing this? The mental side of it is a lot more nebulous because that basically came down to all the time sitting in the van by myself, imagining and thinking and daydreaming. And it's a very all-consuming process. You know, my whole life was immersed in El Cap.
So by the time you got to El Capitan, you knew exactly where each hand and each foot was going to go over the course of that climb?
Yeah, for sure.
So it was like a computer algorithm in your brain that like you had programmed this over time. And then the code was, like, embedded in your brain, and you were just,
Yeah, though I'd rather think of it as, like, a choreographed dance or something. You know, when you start talking about programming code, I'm like,
right.
Oh, that's... Because
right.
there is a certain beauty to the movement and, like, fluidity to it, but that's exactly it. I mean, by the time I actually set out to free solo the wall, I'd put so much effort into the preparation that I felt like I'd mitigated all possible risk.
After 2 seasons of working specifically toward a potential free solo of El Cap, I finally finished all my preparations. I knew every handhold and foothold on the whole route, and I knew exactly what to do. The most difficult part of the whole route was called the boulder problem. It was about 2,000 feet off the ground and consisted of the hardest physical moves on the whole route, long poles between poor handholds with very small, slippery feet. But that wasn't even the hardest part. The crux culminated in a karate kick with my left foot over to the inside of an adjacent corner. A maneuver that required a high degree of precision and flexibility. Enough so that I'd been doing a nightly stretching routine for a full year ahead of time to make sure that I could comfortably make the reach with my leg. Basically, I was ready. It was time to solo El Cap. On June 3rd, 2017, I woke up early and made it to the base of the wall before sunrise. I felt confident as I looked up the wall and felt even better as I started climbing.
About 500 feet up, I reached a slab very similar to the one that had given me so much trouble on Half Dome. But this time was different. I scouted every option, including hundreds of feet of wall to either side, and I knew exactly what to do and how to do it. I had no doubts, I just climbed right through. Even the difficult and strenuous sections passed by with ease. I was perfectly executing my routine. I rested for a moment below the boulder problem, and then climbed it just as I had practiced so many times with the rope on. My foot shot across to the wall on the left without hesitation, and I knew that I'd done it. I climbed with a smooth precision and enjoyed the sounds of the birds swooping around the cliff. And then I reached the summit after 3 hours and 56 minutes of glorious climbing. It was the climb that I wanted, and it felt like mastery.
It sounds like in this case, the way you kind of chipped away at the risk and also at the fear was by practicing again and again and again. And it sounds like it kind of just like ground down that anxiety and any real sense of risk.
Yeah, I think that's exactly right. I mean, on that particular day, I didn't feel like there was any risk. You know, I mean, the day that I freestyled El Cap was the culmination of years of effort. And I think that practice always desensitizes you to things. I mean, I think that's kind of the only real way to broaden your comfort zone is to just slowly push, you know, just to keep on pushing at the edge of it until eventually you're pretty comfortable with things that you weren't before.
But I mean, that's the thing. Like, to me, like, this is the key point that when you are so prepared, the risk side of it is just, it might still be there, but it's less scary. It's less intimidating.
To be fair, I mean, I also spent years looking up at El Cap thinking that's insane, that's impossible. And since then, I mean, I've spent a ton of time in Yosemite since I free-soloed El Cap. And when I look at El Cap now, you know, even knowing that I have free-soloed the wall, it still doesn't look like something that I could just go and free-solo. You know, when I look at the wall right now, I think, oh, you know, I definitely should not free-solo. That would be much too risky. You know, but then with years of practice and training and, you know, just this whole long process, eventually, you know, on that one day, I could look at the wall and think, oh, yeah, you know, that's going to be great today.
That's Alex Honnold. He holds the world's record for the tallest free solo climb in history. You can see his entire talk at TED.com. On the show today, ideas about risk. Stay with us. I'm Guy Raz, and you're listening to the TED Radio Hour from NPR.